Good morning. My name is Emily, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Concerned Veterans for America Call on VA Wait Times conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. John Cooper, Press Secretary for Concerned Veterans of America, you may begin your conference.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking time out of your day to be here this morning and talk about the comments that the Secretary made yesterday. By now, I'm sure all of you have seen those, and many of you have covered those. We wanted to take some time today to provide some more perspective on that, and without any further delay, I want to hand it over to our Vice President for Political and Legislative Action, Dan Caldwell, to provide some context on those remarks and what they mean for the broader debate around VA reform. So with that, I'll go ahead and hand it over to Dan.
Thank you, John. As John said, my name is Dan Caldwell. I'm the Vice President for Legislative and Political Action at Concerned Veterans for America, or CVA. I've been with CVA for almost 3 years now, and prior to that, I was the Deputy Chief of Staff for Congressman David Schweikert, where one of my duties was handling constituent casework for veterans who were having issues with the VA. This is where I learned a lot about how the VA operates and the problems it has. I also served as an infantryman in the Marine Corps and deployed to Iraq. As John said, we wanted to bring you all together today to talk about VA Secretary Bob McDonnell, and in particular his leadership at the VA and the impact it is having on that still troubled department. As I'm sure many of you saw, Bob McDonnell made some pretty outrageous remarks at the Christian Science Monitor breakfast yesterday about measuring wait times at the VA when he in effect compared wait times at Disney theme parks to wait times at the VA and implied that he would like to move away from wait times as a measure of success for the VA healthcare system. Of course, and I'm sure many of you on the phone are tired of hearing this analogy, it's been noted that waiting in line for a roller coaster is not the same as waiting for an appointment at the VA. And to my knowledge, no one has died recently waiting in lines for rides at Disney theme parks. I think this remark by Secretary McDonald was actually very revealing. I think it showed that Secretary McDonald primarily views the wait times as an optics issue for the VA instead of an operational issue that seriously threatens the health of veterans. It also shows, and has John and myself said yesterday, that he is not serious about reforming and fixing the VA and only wants to make small changes on the margins to the current system. This is also yet another example of Secretary McDonald having a case of foot-in-mouth disease. Since becoming VA Secretary, as many of you know because you've covered it, Secretary McDonald's verbal gaffes and tone-deaf remarks have consistently gotten him into hot water. Going back to February 2015, he vastly exaggerated the number of people fired by the VA in the secret waitlist scandal and was given four Pinocchios by the Washington Post fact-checker as a result. He repeated the same lie again in November of 2015 and was dinged again by the Washington Post fact checker, and he and his deputies routinely misrepresent the number of people fired at the VA to Congress and the press. And there are more examples of this in the memo that was sent around attached to the media advisory. He also falsely claimed he was in special forces when talking to a homeless veteran, and during that same month, February 2015 was really not a good month for Secretary McDonald. He lashed out at Congressman Mike Kaufman during a congressional hearing, and he asked him, "I have run a large company, sir. What have you done?" Of course, Congressman Kaufman served 22 years in the United States Marine Corps, including combat tours in the Persian Gulf War and Operation Iraqi Freedom, in addition to running a successful small business in Colorado and serving as Colorado's Secretary of State. There are other examples of him getting testy with reporters and lawmakers, but clearly his remarks at the Christian Science Monitor breakfast are not out of character for him. But aside from his well-established tendency to say stupid things, which is disturbing, there is a much larger issue here that needs to be addressed, and that's the fact that if you look at the state of the VA today, you can make a pretty compelling argument that things are actually worse than when he took over. Using the VA's own data, not CVA's, not Dan Caldwell's, the number of appointments for veterans at the VA that are scheduled more than 30 days out has increased by about 20% nationwide and much more in certain parts of the country since Secretary McDonald took over the VA. This is in spite of the fact that Congress created the choice card, and when you combine the VA reform bill that was passed in 2014 and the subsequent budget cycles, the VA healthcare system has received over $20 billion in additional funding since the VA scandal began. So he's received an incredible amount of resources since he's taken over as secretary and many tools to help solve these wait time problems. But again, using the VA's own data, they've actually gotten worse. In addition, despite repeated promises from the VA going back to 2013, promises which the secretary reaffirmed, the VA disabilities claims backlog has not been eliminated, and hundreds of thousands of claims remain stuck in the appeals backlog. Secretary McDonald originally said that he was committed to getting the backlog to zero, but then he walked that back later on in 2015 and said that there will never be a zero and that there will always be a backlog. Finally, just last month, there was reports that the Government Accountability Office, from the Government Accountability Office, that established that VA employees are still manipulating wait lists. This is the very practice that got his predecessor fired and him placed in office. I think that both Secretary McDonald's remarks and the fact that VA has gotten objectively worse under his watch should be taken into account when discussing whether or not he should continue to the next administration as VA Secretary. Both the House VA Chairman and the Senate VA Chairman have suggested this as a possibility, and we think at CVA that whoever the next president is should not retain Secretary McDonald. He has proven that he is unwilling to truly fight the status quo at the VA, and sadly has shown time and again he lacks integrity. Were it not for the fact that we currently have no faith in the Obama administration to appoint a competent, reform-minded secretary, and the fact that McDonald's deputy, Sloan Gibson, is just as bad as him, CVA would likely be calling for Secretary McDonald's resignation today. There was also a column written this last week about how Secretary McDonald should be considered as a vice presidential nominee. I think that with what I just laid out, there is a pretty compelling case not to choose him as a vice presidential nominee, and hopefully the nominees of both major parties and third party nominees would not consider him as a vice presidential nominee. Finally, I'd like to take a moment and address some of the attacks that Secretary McDonald has leveled against our group. He has repeatedly misrepresented CVA's reform proposals and has attempted to diminish us as a group, including repeating the debunked lie that we are trying to privatize or abolish the VA, which is completely untrue. Secretary McDonald has every right to disagree with us, but what he does not have a right to do is engage in petty and false attacks against our organization. The fact is, CVA is a nationwide veterans organization with staff around the country who have served this country in uniform, including many in combat and some who have been wounded and decorated for valor. Many of our staff that utilize VA healthcare and still do, and other VA programs, including myself. I went to college on the GI Bill. I bought my first home using the VA home loan program. I'm a VA customer. Along with many of our other staff, we utilize the VA. I think that how Secretary McDonald treats us is indicative of how he approaches his job at the VA and approaches the deep-rooted problems of this agency. So with that, I'd like to open up for questions and kick it back to John.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, press star and the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. There are no questions at this time. Oh, pardon me. There is a question from Leo Shane from Military Times. Your line is open.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm having some trouble with the phone there. Just wanted to clarify. You said, you know, you've got a lack of faith in Sloan Gibson as well, a lack of faith in the Obama administration, but do you feel that then there's going to be continued failures, problems, setbacks over the next 6 months if Secretary McDonald stays in office?
Well, we hope that's not the case, but if we're being realistic, we don't see much hope for improvement at the VA under this administration and under the leadership of Secretary McDonald. We don't want the VA to fail. We want it to get better. We want veterans to use the VA to get the best health care possible. But we have to look at reality, and the reality is that Secretary McDonald, as Deputy Sloan Gibson, a lot of the other leadership at the VA, the Obama administration has shown that they are not capable of effectively managing this institution and also improving and reforming it.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Leo.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Bryant Jordan from military.com. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. How are you guys doing? Thanks for doing this. Let me ask you this. Who would you have in mind to succeed McDonald? Because this is obviously something you have thought about previously. You must have some idea. You've been looking at VA for quite some time.
That's a good question. We think there's a lot of people out there that could do a good job of running the VA, but many of them don't want to get near it because of the current administration not taking the problems of the VA seriously, because they view it as a very daunting job, and because that there's this institutional resistance to any type of real reform. We think that you really need to think outside the box, look to both the private sector and other parts of government for people who really could go in there and shake it up. I think the biggest problem with the VA, there's a lot of problems. You know, there's operational problems, there's problems of how it's structured, is actually cultural. Is that they just have a really toxic culture there that does not encourage, I don't believe it encourages integrity, does not encourage a culture where there's a collaborative approach to solving problems, and then for being transparent with the public, the press, and Congress. So I think that the next VA secretary should be somebody who really goes in there and is not afraid to stand up to bureaucracy. So I think that in that particular case, that you would probably want to look to somebody with military experience who's not going to be afraid of some entrenched bureaucrats in Washington, which I think is the group that ultimately got McDonald's ear and told him that this is how it's got to be, and you can't go in here and rock the boat too much. So, you know, looking at some retired generals, and then you couple that with somebody like a Toby Cosgrove, who's currently serving on the Commission on Care, somebody like a Tom Coburn, who has had some unique ideas, and both of them have medical experience. You bring them in, coupled with a strong secretary whose main focus is fixing the culture, and you couple those with a strong undersecretary for health, I think that you could have a really solid team that could go in and really shake up the VA. I don't think it's going to be one individual. It's going to be a group of individuals, because you've seen kind of that across the VA in both the benefits side and the health side, the undersecretaries have been just as much as a problem as the VA secretary themselves. So that's the type of individuals that we look for, and that's how I think that you should approach the problem. But it's not going to matter too much who's in charge unless Congress gives them the tools to succeed, which is why we think you need tools like the VA Accountability Act, which will make it easier to fire bad VA employees, and also more in-depth health care reform that truly changes how the VA delivers health care to our veterans. So before you even want to talk about who's going to be in charge, for the VA to truly succeed, you also are going to need deeper reforms to the system.
Well, if nobody else has a follow-up, another question, I'll ask a follow-up.
Sure.
Sure. Do you think the VA needs to be adopt more programs that will allow it to be in the – let me rephrase that. Does the VA need to be more in the marketplace? I mean, expanding the veteran's choice, making it permanent?
Well, we believe that every veteran who uses the VA for health care or qualifies for VA health care benefits should have the choice to use their benefits within the VA health care system or in the private medical system. You know, Secretary McDonald has accused us of wanting to abolish the VA medical system.
Yep.
We don't support that. You can look at our reform proposal. We call for restructuring the current VA integrated medical system. But what we believe is that every veteran should have the choice of whether or not to use their benefits at the VA healthcare system or in the private sector. It's a simple concept. Dollars follow the veterans. The current choice program, which is something that in concept we supported, the way it's been implemented, it is unfortunately false choice. You still have to have a VA bureaucrat approve whether or not you can use that so-called choice, and that's not real choice. So we don't really support expanding or making the current program permanent without some serious changes, because it's just not working well enough. Now, we do want to see it in the interim while you're implementing longer-term reforms work better so you can have more veterans get quality care in a more timely manner. But for the long term, the VA Choice Program is sadly not the solution for providing more choice for veterans.
As it is now, you mean?
I'm sorry?
As it is now, as it's
yes.
Yeah, okay.
As it is structured now,
right?
It is not the best program to provide choice for veterans.
Again, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
I was just going to say, again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Morgan Chalfant from Washington Free. Your line is open.
Hi. I'm just looking towards the November elections, and given Hillary Clinton's comments last October, I think sort of minimizing how widespread the problems of the VA had been, I'm wondering if you have confidence that she would either not continue on with Secretary McDonald or would appoint a sufficient secretary to head up the VA should he not be, continued?
Well, a few months ago, she praised Secretary McDonald after she made her remarks where she minimized the problems of the VA. Actually, in some ways, saying similar things what Secretary McDonald had said in the past, claiming as it's not as widespread as it's made out to be. She did praise him. My understanding is from what I have heard is that she tried to distance herself from Secretary McDonald's remarks yesterday on that. So based on what she has said, I think that she would be open to keeping Secretary McDonald on. But again, we can't say that with any sort of certainty. There is, surprisingly, as we stated earlier, a lot of individuals who do think that Secretary McDonald should continue on as a VA secretary, despite this clear data that shows that the VA has gotten worse under him and his tendency to say really dumb things and really offensive things over and over again. It surprises me. I think it surprises a lot of veterans. It surprises a lot of people in the press and a lot of people on Capitol Hill, but I guess that's just how Washington, D.C. works sometimes. I would hope that Secretary Clinton does realize that the VA does need deeper and more widespread reform, and that she does realize that Secretary McDonald is not the person to continue to run the VA. I can't guarantee, though, that she would listen to that, or she would not retain Secretary McDonald. So any more questions?
Just one moment. There is a Tyler O'Neill who would like to ask a question. Tyler, if you would like to press star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question.
Tyler, are you there? I think you might be on mute.
Tyler has not queued up, but there is another question from Bryant Jordan from military.com.
Go ahead.
Have too many job protections? Do you believe they should all be employees at will?
I'm sorry, I could not hear that question.
Sure. Do you believe that VA employees should all be employees at will? Should they have collective bargaining protections?
We believe that there needs to be a reform of how VA employees are hired and ultimately held accountable. We support the current VA Accountability Act, which does not turn VA employees into at-will employees. I think there is a legitimate concern about turning every VA employee into a political appointee, but the current legislation that we support, the VA Accountability Act, does not do that, despite the fact that there have been certain groups like the American Federation for Government Employees who have implied that legislation would do that. The legislation that we support would still have requirements for due process, and the VA would still have to prove that this person has committed misconduct. What it does is it speeds up the termination process once that misconduct has been established. That's what we support.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you all for joining us this morning, and thank you all again for continuing to cover this story. If it weren't for you all in the press really exposing a lot of these problems, I don't think that you would have seen some of the efforts to change and reform the VA like you have, and there's still a lot of work to do, but continuing to shine sunlight on the problem is extremely important, and thank you all for staying on this story.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.